It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. This morning, we'll learn more about the two amendments that West Virginians are voting for or against at the ballot box this election.
It's the first time that they're putting something on the ballot that would actually take rights away from West Virginians, which is a major concern because if you start looking at that type of government interference in personal health care or in personal decision making, you just don't know what they could potentially do next.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. There are two constitutional amendments on the ballot in this year's midterm election. If passed, one would change language about how abortions are handled in the state constitution. The other would give the state legislature some oversight of the Supreme Court's budget. Senior reporter Dave Mistich sat down with news director Jesse Wright to break down what each amendment means.
Okay, Dave, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
First, can you tell us really briefly how these amendments wound up on the ballot in this election?
Well, back in the legislative session this past year, earlier in 2018, the legislature, of course, passes joint resolutions. That requires two-thirds majority in both the House and Senate. Both of these measures, one started out as Senate Joint Resolution 3, the other one Senate Joint Resolution 12. Those passed both chambers by a two-thirds majority, and now each of these constitutional amendments go to the voters to make their decision on this.
Okay, so Amendment 1, we've heard a lot about this leading up to Election Day. What does that amendment say and what would it do?
Well, Amendment 1 is focused on abortion, the abortion issue. It says nothing in this Constitution secures or protects the right to an abortion or the funding of an abortion. Basically, the whole idea behind this is that it would overturn a decision back in the 90s, about 25 years ago. Was the Panopinto decision is basically what it's known as. That court ruling by the state Supreme Court basically said that it is unconstitutional to prevent a poor woman from having an abortion. It did leave some exceptions in there, basically in the cases of rape, incest, and medical necessity. To be really, really clear about it, basically what this constitutional amendment would do is overturn that court decision and allow that to go into place. Should point out, though, that elective abortions under Medicaid, Medicaid-funded abortions are a matter of medical necessity already, so a doctor has to sign off on that. I spoke to Julie Warden. She's the communications director of West Virginia Free, and she's working with a whole coalition of groups in opposition to this, and here's what she had to say about Amendment 1.
It's the first time that they're putting something on the ballot that would actually take rights away from West Virginians, which is a major concern because if you start looking at that type of government interference in personal health care or in personal decision making, you just don't know what they could potentially do next. So this really paves the way for politicians to be able to pass more legislation that could affect access to health care for women.
This amendment would open up the legislature, give them the ability to pass more laws that restrict abortions. Now, there's a little bit of a debate going on whether or not that already would be set in stone in the Constitution. But I should point out, though, that at the end of the day, the state Supreme Court is the arbiter of the state Constitution. So it may not even take further legislation for those restrictions to be in place. It's just a matter of the way the state Supreme Court would interpret this constitutional amendment if it were challenged, if any laws or anything else were challenged in court.
And of course, the makeup of the Supreme Court is really in flux right now, as we've seen through your coverage. So, of course, there's a contingent of folks who are pushing for this amendment to pass. What are they saying?
So I spoke to some folks from West Virginians for Life. They're in support of this amendment. They want it to pass. I spoke to Mary Ann Buchanan. She's with that organization, and here's what she had to say.
I had the whole book with all the votes that go back years and years and years. I didn't count them, but I would say at least five or six times we have tried legislatively to get a bill passed to stop state funding, and they never went anywhere. And in fact, that's what we were doing with HB 4012 this past legislative session, and it was moving along, and then all of a sudden it just stalled, and we were scratching our heads, what happened here? It was legislative leadership that actually said, we're going to go about it this way.
Again, that was Mary Ann Buchanan. She's with West Virginians for Life. And as she pointed out, you can hear that this is something that they've been pushing for in the past. Legislation, as it stood with the Panopinto decision and other legislation that would have provided further restrictions on abortions, would have been essentially deemed unconstitutional. So this constitutional amendment basically opens the door for more legislation. And as she pointed out, this is something they've been working towards for years and years.
Okay, and so now on to Amendment 2. This one is the Judicial Budget Oversight Amendment. What would it do?
You know, this year with the state Supreme Court scandal, the impeachments that came along, legislators, you know, very mindful of this over the course of the legislative session. I spoke to Senate Judiciary Chairman Charlie Trump, and he acknowledged that this whole spending scandal played a large part in the legislature paying attention to this and eventually, with Amendment 2, handing this over to the voters to decide.
I'd be less than candid if I didn't acknowledge that I guess, you know, the things that were brought to light about expenditures in the judicial branch over the course of the last year, if I didn't acknowledge that that had some effect in terms of momentum. But what I would say, David, is that the idea of having legislature have some control, some check upon the court's budgetary authority is not new. It's not something that was discussed for the first time in the last year.
I also spoke to Democrat Senator Mike Romano. He also acknowledged that the spending scandal in the state Supreme Court.
I think the average person just simply can't justify expending those types of funds. Now, people who are more knowledgeable realize that none of the impeachment articles, none of the charges brought against the Supreme Court justices had anything to do with remodeling their offices, that they were kind of trumped up based on things such as paying senior status judges, which is certainly within the purview of the Supreme Court and within the discretion of the Supreme Court. You know, nobody was putting any money in their pockets. It was amounts that had to be paid to keep the court system open.
So as you can hear from Senator Romano there, a little bit more cautious as far as this amendment goes and what it does in relation to the Supreme Court spending scandal earlier this year. So basically what you heard there, you know, Senator Trump and Senator Romano, more or less two perspectives on the same side of the coin is the best way to describe it.
So even after the spending scandal and the whole impeachment process played out and eventually sort of fizzled, is there any opposition to this amendment?
People that oppose this see this as as the legislature trying to force their hand against the state Supreme Court. You know, one thing I should point out about this amendment is that the way it's written, this would not give the legislature the power to do any of this until 2021. It would also, I should point out, that it would allow the legislature to cut the state Supreme Court's budget up to 15% of the previous year's budget. So there's a few things at play here. But at the end of the day, I think people in the separation of powers issue think that over the course of years, if you take 15% away from, you know, the previous year's budget and do that year after year after year, it would sort of, at the end of the day, cut the legs off of the Supreme Court. And I think that that's really the big opposition to this right now.
All right. Well, I appreciate your insight into these two amendments, and we'll see how things play out on Tuesday. Thanks for joining us, Dave.
Thanks, Jesse.
That was News Director Jesse Wright speaking with our senior reporter Dave Mistich about the two constitutional amendments up for a vote on this year's ballot. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:52. Mostly cloudy skies today, some scattered rain possible with highs in the 50s and 60s. Chance of rain tonight with lows in the 30s and 40s. Tomorrow, rain early with some afternoon clearing, highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the CAMC Foundation, providing financial support for patients and services at CAMC Women and Children's Hospital, including the CAMC Children's Cancer Center. Learn more at CAMCFoundation.org. Singer-songwriter Gretchen Peters has made five appearances on Mountain Stage since 1996. A widely covered songwriter, Peters' songs have been recorded by Martina McBride, Shania Twain, Bryan Adams, and many others. Here she is with the track, Say Grace.
Our Lady of the Bus Depot is holding forth tonight. Her body, it is wasted, but her eyes are shining bright. And our Father, who art slightly drunk, is warding off the shakes. And he staggers underneath the weight of the promises he made. Say grace, say grace, forgive yourself for all your mistakes. You can start all over if that's what it takes. Just come inside and set yourself. Say grace. We are gathered here together to praise His holy name. In a shelter by the Greyhound station down on Fifth and Main. And as to who we're praying to, there run to school a benevolent provider or an unforgiving God. Say grace. Say grace. Forgive yourself for all your mistakes. You might find salvation in your neighbor's face. So come inside and set yourself a place and say grace. But the TV in the corner screaming, you're not welcome here. And on a poster in the waiting room, she greets the tired and poor. Our Lady of the Harbor stands beside a golden door. Say grace. For all your mistakes, you are not a loser, you are not a hopeless case. Just come inside and set yourself a place and say grace. Come inside and set yourself a place and say grace.
That was Gretchen Peters live on Mountain Stage with her song Say Grace. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.
Thank you.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Molly Bourne, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glenna Sport. I'm Teresa Wills.